remind me to start.
Okay,
well, welcome everyone to another Saturday coffee tea with me. And we're happy to have with us today John Bergsteiner from Logos Nutritionals and our resident Swami, okay, Peter. And they're here to talk to you about long COVID and the things that you may do to help you slowly overcome COVID quicker. So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not going to talk about my theory of it being another bioweapon, and everything that was made to get rid of it is even worse. So, let's go right to John and let you have his interpretation of COVID and its mutations, and then we're going to later on bring in his thoughts on getting rid of it, and then after him comes Peter, and I'll keep quiet. So, welcome, John, and go ahead.
Good morning. I'm grateful to be here this morning, and oh goodness, what a topic! Long COVID. I guess it's really not helpful to dwell on where it came from, or you know, the intention behind it, and all that stuff. It is what it is. It's here. We have to contend with it. So I will limit my focus on, you know, what long COVID is and how we can best hope to deal with it. And also how it compares to vaccine injury from the COVID vaccine. Hopefully you've got Peter unmuted, because I'm probably going to have some comments and questions to and from him. Good morning, Peter. You here?
Yeah, I had him muted because it was an echo when he was not muted.
And yes, again, I guess because
it's
can
just
you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, John.
Hey,
good morning, Mel. Morning, Mel.
I'm here.
What? Well, before we get started, do you mind if I pray?
No, Peter always reminds me to pray. Sometimes it's at the end, in the middle, but he's forgetting to tell me to turn on the recording. I mean, what am I going to do with this boy? Sorry, got that.
Oh, goodness. Well, let's go to the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this forum, this opportunity where we can come together, Lord, and share knowledge and information, encourage one another. And so, Lord, I just ask that you will rule and reign in this during this time, and that everything said will be used for your glory. I pray these things in the mighty name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 All right, let's jump into this. Long COVID. Whoa, what a concept. For a long, long time, we've had chronic fatigue syndrome, you know, that has been rearing its ugly head, and it's characterized by something that's referred to as post-viral fatigue syndrome, and many other symptoms, but that's one of the highlighted symptoms for chronic fatigue, and it's also one of the highlighted symptoms for long COVID. And it's characterized by energy-activated fatigue, where people with chronic fatigue or long haul COVID have severe difficulty with when they try to expend energy, they get this profound fatigue syndrome. There are two other primary kind of identifying features of long haul COVID, and one of them is cognitive defects, brain fog. The other is chronic inflammation. The fourth is gut dysbiosis. So I'm going to go into each one of these things a little bit and talk about that. The energy activated fatigue that we see with long haul COVID and brain fog for that matter, have to do with impairment of oxygen levels in the body. So we have red blood cells are clumping together, and so the ability for your body to circulate your red blood cells efficiently and bind oxygen and get oxygen into your tissues is impaired. So obviously that would show up with energy activated situations. It would show up with brain fog because the brain is one of our primary or biggest energy hogs in the body. It takes a lot of energy to run the brain. And so when we have oxygen impairment, that's going to be one of the first things that shows up is brain fog. Chronic inflammation, obviously that is, that's kind of the underlying, the big whammy underlying factor that we see causing all the different symptoms that you see with long haul COVID. Peripheral nerve damage, gut dysbiosis, all of that. It's inflammation is kind of the common factor, in the chronic premature deaths we see with long haul COVID, and obviously with vaccine injury folks as well. But there's T lymphocyte damage that's taking place, and that causes autoimmune type responses in the body. This is a complex topic, and unfortunately, there's no way to really talk about it without getting kind of complex or kind of digging into the weeds, if you will. So y'all be patient with me, and you'll have a chance to ask questions. But this is kind of complex. It's immunology is what it is. So without going into it, you really can't explain what's going on. But there are a number of different cytokines or molecules that the body uses to regulate immunity, and interferon, interleukin-6, and other inflammatory cytokines, these are all elevated in people with long-haul COVID. And it turns out that about 20% of people who get COVID end up with this long-haul COVID phenomenon that we see. And that's because in 20% of people, they have issues with their T helper cells, with one of the classes of immune cells. Basically, they have the biggest problem with long haul COVID is persistent antigen syndrome. In other words, the spike protein that is produced by the virus is persistently being circulated in the body. So when the spike proteins are circulated in the body, they provoke inflammatory responses. The body uses these inflammatory molecules, and the immune system attacks because this spike protein is perceived as a foreign protein. And in 20% of the people, there are issues with their immune system. Their immune system is compromised so that they can't efficiently eliminate the spike proteins in the body. And they, this inflammatory process starts to produce wear and tear on the body in many, many ways. So you've got a couple of main players in the immune system involved. You've got B cells, which come from your bone marrow. They produce what's called IgM antibodies. And these are the antibodies that doctors look for to tell them you have an active infection right now. IgM antibodies are the ones that tell them you have an ongoing active infection. And then those normally, in a normal immune system, in a normal person, if you are exposed to COVID, for example, or anything else, you're going to produce IgM antibodies, and your those IgM antibodies they have low affinity for attacking the antigen, in this case, the spike protein. Normally, you see IgM antibodies early on in the disease process. Then the T helper cells come in and help the body to produce what are called IgG antibodies. And those are going to be seen long term because they're evidence that your body has met that challenge and is dealing with that challenge. Normally, your IgM antibodies give way to IgG antibodies. But in 20% of the population of people who are exposed to COVID, some of the T helper cells are not functioning the way they should. So there's different subtypes of IgG antibodies. There's four different subtypes, and these people have a problem in their subtype number two. It's a T helper cell deficiency of the subtype two. For these people, they can't efficiently deal with the spike protein in the body. That's why some people get COVID and they don't, their body deals with it very effectively, and other people can't, and that's why. So I have a question for Peter, because I know he'll know the answer. Peter, do you know where T helper cells come from?
Where they're produced? Can you hear me, Mel? You had... Hello?
There he is.
Yeah, I think he had me muted. Can you give me that question again, John? By the way, I'm really happy you're here this morning. You made that so easy. Really very well stated. I couldn't agree with everything you said more. But what was your specific question again?
Where do T cells come from?
Oh, goodness. I believe T cells would be made in the bone marrow. Am I correct? Or in the spleen, one of the two?
Well, you find them in the bone marrow and the spleen, but they're made by the thymus. That's why they're called T cells.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, yes. You knew that. I know you knew that. So this is a very interesting feature of long-haul COVID, is this inefficiency or disconnect in one of the components of T helper cells. Because without the T helper cells, our immune system is at a disadvantage in dealing with not only long-haul COVID, but a lot of other things as well. And obviously, our thymus gland is what makes these T cells. It's also what secretes the proteins that mature and specialize our T cells. So keep that in mind. Complete thymic formula is directly supporting our T cells and presenting them with not only thymus-specific glandular nutrients, but also information that's encoded in the RNA and DNA of those cells. There's no other way to get. This is why many years ago, when I tried to do a clinical trial on thymic formula at a university down in Florida on chronic fatigue syndrome, the study, after I spent $10,000 to get an IRB written and accepted by the university, when it came time for the study to start, they abruptly pulled it. Said, John, we can't do this study. And it's because the people funding the university did not want them to do the study. I didn't understand exactly why at the time, but I do now. There were plans for taking advantage of this problem in the population. So for long-haul COVID sufferers, they are people with T-cell deficiencies, and they are people suffering from this energy-activated fatigue syndrome and brain fog and chronic inflammation that surfaces throughout the body in all kinds of different inflammatory syndromes that look like autoimmunity in many cases. Vaccine injury, identical symptoms, but with much greater potential for injury because of mRNA persistence. When they take over the machinery that makes proteins that we use for maintenance and everything else in our body, you know, regeneration, when they hijack that machinery, cellular machinery, it's called a ribosome, to make this spike protein, we don't know how long that continues. We do know that it, you know, is not just contained to the arm where the injection is given. It passes throughout the body, and that's to say nothing of the, you know, the even greater danger of reverse transcription into our own DNA, which would explain the recent surge in cancers like glioblastoma, which just killed my sister, who was, by the way, multiply vaxxed. So this is a subject that hits home for me. And this is why I was happy to participate in the conversation today and have the opportunity to, you know, maybe hopefully, I know this is all confusing to lay people. It's confusing to people who aren't lay people. And the doctors haven't been able to, most doctors haven't figured this out. And it's really a sad state of affairs. But it's interesting that people who are post-vaccine who get COVID actually have worse symptoms than people who were not vaccinated. And that all that does is further show exactly what I just explained. You know, it's just if the body can't contend with the spike protein burden because of the deficiency in T helper cells. So that is kind of a 30,000 foot view of what's going on. And we can talk about, you know, treatment options, in my opinion, protocols, and so my protocol for it and so forth. But I definitely would love to open it up to questions and to comments, whatever Peter's got to add to that. Hopefully, that's not too complicated for you guys to appreciate.
All right. So before we go to the questions, Pete, do you want to add anything to what John has said?
Good morning, folks. Yeah, John has given you, I like the term, a 30,000-foot view. It is a deep dive into physiology to learn about what we're talking about here this morning, which I believe, John, you're describing the effects on our adaptive immune system, our acquired immune system, which takes us into systemic inflammation and the different imbalances in the body that we're talking about. I like to capture the IgMs that you were speaking about. You're right. I believe doctors do test for those. They're only generally, if I understand my research correctly, in the body for about 6 weeks. Those are like the Marines. I call that the Ig Marines. So if those have done their part, they're the first immune cells that arrive on the scene. Then you see the IgE come in behind them, John, which I call the special forces. So they're a specialized part of the adaptive immune system using, again, different helper cells. And then you have what I call the IgG, which is like the army coming in, setting up, you know, latrines and cots and a place to eat, the canteen, all of that for long-term resistance or the ability to respond to similar infections in the future. So IgG is definitely affected in all this. I believe that there's several pathways, one of which is called the ACE2, sure you're aware of that, John, the Angiotensin converting enzyme pathway, which again will lead to one direction of inflammation and the other direction, or pro-inflammatory, and the other side, if that pathway is affected by the spike protein, you can end up with an anti-inflammatory cytokine or messenger response. And I believe that all of that gets out of balance in terms of endocrine and what the virus is doing with other pathways like ACE or nicotinic, alpha-7 nicotinic acetylcholine receptors, I believe, which is playing a role in inflammation and antiviral capacity from the body as well. So it is. There's so much going on, Mel, with this. Air hunger, I think, goes hand in hand with the chronic fatigue that you're talking about, John. Inflammation, for sure. There's also an aspect of what we were going to talk about today, which helps with this, an aspect of a gene called P53, and the spike protein is blocking the P53 gene, which is a gene that stimulates an enzyme, a cellular enzyme that actually destroys the ability for cancer to continue. Cancer cells they're immortal, or they won't die. So it starts that process of autophagy and breaking them down. That's affected. We get air hunger because there's iron disruption in the blood as well, which Morgellons is fueling, changing our iron from ferrous to ferric to where it can't deliver oxygen. So and the reverse transcription that John spoke about is our cells are getting affected at a cellular level in terms of, you know, the capacity to reproduce correctly, express correctly all the genes. It's just such a sophisticated assault on so many systems and at a cellular level that creates so many types of messaging problems and so much inflammation that this acquired immune side that's there or to adapt is just having trouble staying up. And of course, gain of function, last I'll say, is what it was created to do, which is continue to mutate and continue to force these cascades in the body where the adaptive immune system has to catch up, identify, and then start generating the right T cells that are going to block that from attaching into the cells. And your cells have, what, John, maybe 10,000 receptors on each cell? So it's just a very difficult thing and a very serious assault against the body at a cellular level. Mitochondrial function is a whole other arena we could look at as well.
Oh, boy.
That's right. Well, thank you, Peter. I'm glad I had a roadmap. Let's start with question. Stop laughing. I can't stop laughing. You know, I love Peter, but sometimes I can get lost. All right. So, questions for John and or Peter. Let's go before we continue on with things you can do to help get rid of this mess. All right. Come on now. Questions. There got to be questions. All right. I'm going around the room. Sam, you got it? Well, I'm going to get to you next because you put your hand up. Sam, I am. Any questions?
My Morgellons symptoms actually started 6 months after I got COVID. I'm just starting to pin this all together now. How do you know, like, if you have long COVID? I mean, there's no diagnosis test or anything, right? It's just...
I don't know that there's a specific test, but there certainly are symptoms. And we'll get them put on the website in the near future by somebody, okay? Just symptoms of long COVID. But I'm going to let both John and Peter answer that, and we're going to then go to the next person. Go ahead, John. What would you think are the symptoms one could use to describe the fact that they might have this?
Well, the most prominent symptoms are the ones I mentioned, the energy-activated fatigue syndrome, post-viral fatigue syndrome, cognitive defects, brain fog, low oxygen levels, chronically low oxygen levels. A lot of people have peripheral nerve damage, and a lot of, I mean, this thing can manifest in so many ways, but chronic inflammation can manifest as often diagnosed as autoimmunity. Because it really is. It is autoimmunity. It is forced, expressed autoimmunity. When you may not have had autoimmunity before, but, you know, once someone is exposed to long COVID who have these helper cell, T helper cell imbalances, or inactivity, that's what they're going to do, is they're going to manifest symptoms of autoimmune disorders. And wherever your weakest systems in your body are is where that's going to show up.
You know, John, when we talk about being deprived of oxygen, you know, I think back to when I was really sick and, you know, I mean really sick. And they, you know, said, you're going to not be here anymore. And I remember that I started whistling. And I've always wondered to myself, now remember, I was the first, okay? Or at least the first that ran his mouth about it. And, right, who's whistling for me? Thank you very much. Must be Nancy. All right, so anyway, I was never sure if it was because I was lonely, but I always actually felt that it helped pump oxygen into my body, and my body needed that. So it's always interesting when I hear it. And does anybody remember the name? I think it's Dr. White, but I'm not sure. There's a man who contacted me way, way back when, I don't know how many years now, 12, 14 years ago, who specialized in up in Lake Tahoe in chronic fatigue syndrome. And boy, he was aware of all of these things that you guys are mentioning way back when. It's very interesting. I have emails from him, so I have to just go find them. Okay, well, does that help, Sam?
Absolutely.
Sam,
yes, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, wait. Pete, you want to add anything? Just add anything.
Well, I believe that there's a lot of folks in the mainstream that are being led down an avenue of understanding COVID, which is incorrect. SARS stands for sudden acute respiratory syndrome. But in my humble opinion, I would hope John would agree with this, I don't consider SARS a respiratory disease so much as I see it as a vascular disease. We're getting a change in what's called the hemocrit, which is the balance between red blood cells, which should be about 75% of your blood, white blood cells, your defense system John's talking about, which should be about 25% of your blood, and 7 to 10% should be what's known as the clotting factor. It produces a protein called fibrin, which actually binds what the particles, the blood together in a scab when we cut ourselves so they can heal. Well, the hemoglobin is going really strong in my research tells me the hemoglobin is going real strong on the clotting factor. So we're getting excess fibrin that's loading in the endothelial tissues of our bloodstream and causing many blood clots that I believe start out with pericarditis, which is inflammation in the sac around the heart. It leads to an inflammation in the heart muscle, which can lead to myocarditis, which is, again, what the medical term for that. It can lead to tachycardia, which is a medical term for a rapid heartbeat. It can lead to POTS, where people have rapid heartbeats when they stand up. All these things are happening because of that one particular aspect of what we're dealing with. So it is vascular, and one thing that we can do, I'm a guy, a recovering alcoholic that likes to live with the notion we live by an AA, which is don't live in the problem, but live in the solution. So I like to look at the solution as being, you know, understanding what John was talking about, the blood stacking together. There's a particular test that I believe many insurance companies will cover called the D, the letter D is in dog, dash dimer, D-I-M-E-R. That is a very preventative or living in the solution way to look at long-term COVID, because you can have that D-dimer test done. Most insurance companies, many, some, whatever plan you might have, will pay for it, but your doctors aren't always familiar with it. So if you request a D-dimer and the results come back that you have elevated fibrin, this clotting factor, then you know that you've got the spike protein that's active in your body, and you don't need a test for it that are often highly unreliable, just like Lyme testing, and actually could do more harm than good by introducing particulates in the testing tools that, without our knowing, may even be challenging our immune system, adding things like graphene dioxide or graphene oxide and other, you know, harmful imbodients into the body. So it's important, my bottom line is that we see it as a vascular disease, We get out in front and have our doctors do a D-dimer. If we have elevated fibrin, we know we can get on like the Magnificyme, John's Magnificyme, which is serapeptase, a proteolytic anti-inflammatory enzyme that will reduce those clots before they can grow into a problem where you end up with a stroke or a heart attack. Very important to understand these things. And if we take nothing away from this today, I think if you understand that you do have managed care in place or Medi-Cal, to speak with your doctor about it, that D-dimer test that will tell you to have elevated fibrin. Then there are steps you can take. Again, the Magnificyme, dietary changes, even in some case with people that still want to lean into pharmaceuticals, NSAIDs for anti-inflammatory things like Infostat. John's Infostat will help a whole lot with the systemic inflammation that's being caused by the excess spike proteins. And then hopefully, lastly, I'll say later on in this call, maybe we can look at protocols that I use, that I found effective for myself and others, as to how to help eliminate the spike protein, even as up to and including strategies to get taste and smell back when it's been gone for some time. There you go.
All right. Well, what I figured out is they need a sledgehammer to beat this thing up. No, no.
Hey, Mel, can I add to that, please?
Oh, yeah, please do, because
I'm so glad, Peter, that you said what you said about how you don't look at COVID as a respiratory disease as much as you do the way you characterize it. And I want to point out one of the other prominent features of long-haul COVID is gut dysbiosis, impaired mucosal immunity because of disruptions in the balance of power in the gut. So you can literally test people and look at their butyrate levels, and all of the people with long-haul COVID have low, very low butyrate levels because the beneficial bacteria in their gut are not producing fatty acids the way they're supposed to. So that's why probiotics are so important in our protocol that we've developed for Morgellons or Lyme, but they're also very important for people dealing with long-haul COVID because when you have gut dysbiosis, when you throw a rock in the lake, you see these ripples that go out throughout out the lake, and this is what's happening in the body when you have gut dysbiosis. It rampages throughout the body in all kinds of different systems in different ways.
All right. If I'm not mistaken, let me go back inside to the computer, both girls. I was coming for some of that famous iced tea you got me on, John, which got me off of soda, remember? Many, many years ago. Here you do. Oh, Pete's got something to add as well. All right, let me let Pete go, and then I'm going to come to you, Diane and Paul, I promise.
Yeah, just real quick, Mel. John, I wanted to tag in behind what you said. I've also seen research that indicates there's something, just a Scrabble word called toll-like receptor 4, which is a cytokine or a messaging molecule located right on the other side of our mucosal barrier in our gut. So when we get that dysbiosis that John is talking about, a lack of balance in the floral variety in the gut, what happens is that toll-like, we get leaky gut, larger molecule size food particles getting through, and on the other side, this toll-like receptor 4 sees it and starts to send out messengers for an inflammation cascade. And so, again, we have a direct correlation to the gut, to the brain gut axis, and to mucosal integrity. It's a very thin line of cells, maybe even only singular cells that separate the mucosal side of the stomach from these toll-like receptor 4s on the other side. That's why we say most of our immunity is located in the gut. The whole messaging, the whole program starts to identify the problem. You solve the microbe, the parasite, whatever there, and then that starts the reaction's body to it. So I just wanted to say, John, that I'm glad you brought that out. So we've got to work on the gut, Mel. We got to get people to bring the intestinal integrity back to the gut, and of course, that's why we take the Logos Digestion, the Logos Flora, the liver support. Half of the protocol is designed on improving digestive support, liver support, and improving that process that I just discussed. And then once we get those toll-like receptors not firing as much, the inflammation then, it's always calling inflammation because the gut's off. Then the gut comes back into restoration, the toll-like receptors quiet, and we get the inflammation reducing down to the norm. That's how I understood it, and that's what I practice to get my inflammation under control and keep it under control to this day. So I know it's complicated, but there's that for you guys as well. Thank you, John.
Well, after those last couple of posts and the diets and for newbies and all of that with the color chart, right? So I went shopping on Thursday to three stores. King Super, which is my favorite, beautiful store. Walmart, which is Staples. And then Sprouts. And believe it or not, the most money I spent was in Sprouts because of you, Peter, and that color chart of yours. I got every kind of pepper. I got every kind of pepper you could think of, baby.
Good for you. Yeah, it's a good outlet. Bit pricey. I'm kind of boycotting them right now because they continue to raise their prices, and I think our dollar is the only way we have to put a control on that is to choose.
You know, I didn't really see it. I really didn't feel that way in there, that it was more expensive than other places. But I felt that because we have a lot of local growers, that there's things that you can get there that are much fresher. And it's worth a few extra pennies. I didn't notice it being more expensive, and I'm really careful with the money. Okay, we're going to move on now, and we're going to go ahead to Diane and Paul, Mr. and Mrs. What's-Their-Names, our resident spies who patiently with their hands up have been waiting. Welcome.
Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Diane. I have a question. John, I don't know if you or maybe Peter are familiar. I have a really good friend. I'm trying so hard to get her on Logos protocol. She had COVID three times and has now, after a year with so many different symptoms, been diagnosed with NXP2. And it's a very complicated diagnosis, but extreme, muscle fatigue all over and lumps popping up all over her body, especially on her face, which I think they're calcium deposited. But I'm just wondering if you're familiar with the NXP2, it's an antibody type of diagnosis where maybe the Logos in some way, some protocol might be a help to her.
Well, it's interesting you would ask that because, yeah, our protocol would be helpful for her in a multitude of different ways. But, you know all about MagnotCal, what we used to call MagnifiCal, that targets calcium in the body and puts it back into where it belongs. That was certainly
in the bones.
Helpful.
In the bones.
Yeah.
No, John. I tell this story every once in a while, and I'm going to tell it today. I broke every finger in my hands playing hockey. And today, unfortunately, the best thing on my body is my hair and my hands. Every one of my fingers is completely straight, and I can still wear the rings that I wore when I played hockey. So I'm a big fan of Joint Marvel, Magnifical, Neflistat, Magnifizine, all these things that help an older body not feel any pain. Sorry.
Amen. That's all right.
Amen is me, buddy. It feels good not to hurt, John, It feels good not to hurt.
Well, do you think those large deposits, they're popping up on her face, which has been very distorting and disfiguring on her face, to have these 2-inch lumps all over her face, that the protocol may help dissolve those lumps?
Well, it will help.
Got to change your diet. Change your
diet. It'll help to change the way calcium is being utilized in her body, and more importantly, it will change at the fundamental level the inflammatory process that's driving all of that. And that's the key. Is we've got to go at this because it becomes a multi-organ, issue once this all gets set in place in the body. And inflammation is body-wide with people who are dealing with long-haul COVID. Anything we can do that's going to block the spike protein, lower the burden of spike protein, lower the inflammation, heal the gut, clear the detox pathways, lower the oxidative stress in the body, support our mitochondrial function so that our cellular energy factories are able to work, enhance circulation and oxygenation in the body. Those things are going to be very helpful.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
You're welcome, dear.
Let's see now. Okay, Lori, any questions?
I did have a question on the spike protein. How is a spike protein that people, how is it affecting, like, me? Like, if I know I'm on the logos and on all that, but, I mean, how does it affect somebody who's had the vaccine and somebody who has COVID or something? How does that, like, affect me that the spike protein will make me sicker,
Yeah. Well, it depends on the individual, obviously. Some people, as we already noted, some people, most people actually have a very, very mild, not much of a challenge with COVID. But there are people who have tremendous challenges and all the comorbidities that are common have certainly been well publicized, obesity, diabetes, and all those things. But it really boils down at the cellular level to whether we have the proper balance and of T helper cells to help our body get back control. Because in a normal person who's dealing with not only COVID, but any kind of viral threat, these people with chronic fatigue are dealing typically with Epstein-Barr virus. And similarly, they don't have the balance, proper balance and efficiency in their immune system to deal with it. And some people can be dealing with it effectively, and then some kind of trauma or something upsets the balance, and their immune system gets behind the eight ball again. So it's you have to approach it from the 30,000 foot view to really understand it, and then deal with the different battlefronts directly, as they are, and they're not always exactly the same in every person. But there are these very common, presentations that we see in the patients that are dealing with long COVID. And I've gone through that with the energy fatigue and brain fog and oxygen deprivation, gut dysbiosis, all those things. This is not like 1 + 1 = 2. There's still, we're all trying to work through this as time goes on. But there is a lot that has been revealed, most of which is really not being reported. But yeah, there's we know a lot more than the general population is being opened up to.
All right. I think Peter has something to add here because I see he put his hand up. Hi, Pete.
Yeah. I just wanted to help. Thank you, John. I would agree with that. And I wanted to add for the questioner that these ACE2 pathways doctors will have been prescribing what's called beta blockers. Beta blockers are synthetic drugs, not good for us, that that block this A2 pathway or send it one direction or the other. What I wanted to say is most of the cells, the ACE2 cells that are loaded with ACE2 receptors, and a receptor is like, imagine a catcher's mitt on a cell, and the pitcher is a particular protein that's designed to use, that is designed to capture to take it into the cell can use it then. Well, what the spike protein does is the pitcher comes by and usually throws that protein, the catcher's mitt catches the protein, opens the door and lets itself into the cell. But what's happening with the spike protein is it mimics that, it's molecular mimicry. So the pitcher throws spike protein, throws it into the catcher's mitt, but it doesn't open the door into the cell, so it just sits there. And then, therefore, any of the proper proteins that try and get in just bounce off the receptor. So what we have to do is clear the spike proteins out of the body and create a way for a pathway for the adaptive immune system to learn how not to change its cellular structure to where that receptor doesn't allow the spike protein to bind to it anymore. Now, that's a deep dive in physiology, but the point being, what happens is with the inflammation is this ACE2 pathway is responsible for how much sodium and potassium we retain in the body, which directly controls the vascular permeability of the blood vessels. And then if that pathway isn't working right, we're going to get elevated blood pressure, we're going to get differences in oxygenation, the blood problems and the fatigue and the active energy process that John described to you. So we've got to understand that's why the lungs and the heart is affected. And it's not a vascular, I mean, it's not a respiratory. Our arteries then, with that ACE2 pathway off, are leaking blood, basically, and calling forth for all kinds of autoimmune helpers that John mentioned. And then we get a cytokine storm, it's called, where autoimmunity, then the body can't tell between, it's activating so much of a response, it can't tell between the enemy and itself, and the body starts attacking itself. So again, we've got to figure out ways to improve the gut, shut down those toll-like receptor 4s that are calling forth all the pro-inflammatory circumstances in the body, quiet the body. So the notion being, to put it simply, make a long story longer, is we there's a point where we have to increase our immune response because the spike protein is starting to generate more viral overload in the body. And then at some point, we have to understand, we have to quiet the immune system and create an environment for it where it can adjust easily. And that really is the big challenge. And, I work on that every day, but that's a whole other discussion. So I hope that helps you guys. Thanks, Mel.
I have my cousin with me, and she just has one question also. That's okay.
Yep. Yes, of course.
Hi, this is Kathy. Nice listening to y'all. I had my first case of COVID March 2020, and it was a 3.5 week deal, and I was pretty sick. And then I started getting the shot, the booster, and then I've had 3 of the boosters after the initial shot. Every time I get that, I have to take Benadryl right away because I itch. My whole body just itches. The last time with the last booster, I itched for a year. And then it finally stopped. I finally stopped itching. And now I just had COVID again a couple of weeks ago, and I started with the itching. I itch at the top of my head, underneath my chest, down below. It's terrible. So I'm not sure what to do about it. Or is this considered part of long COVID?
It certainly is one of the characteristic features of long COVID. It's like that is just manifestation of increased inflammation in the body, increased histamine response, histamine being one of those inflammatory proteins that the body uses to control infection. and or threats. And yeah, you're describing very, you know, in great detail, you know, what we see, and it's very likely that you have some of these imbalances in your T helper cell, you know, antibodies, and probably in subtype 2, that's what has, you know, studies have shown is typically where the problem lies. The problem is, you know, what drug do you use to fix that? Though there's not one. The closest thing that I know of that does directly address that is happens to be part of our protocol, and it's complete thymic formula, which is, like I said, bringing into the body all kinds of thymus specific nutrients, RNA and DNA information that is encoded in the proteins of those glandular materials that there's no other way to get into the body. So you're trying to give your thymus all the information, all the resources it needs to figure it out. And hopefully that's what it does. I believe based on the, you know, 30 years of my exposure to seeing complete thymic formula being used, and many times with people with, you know, chronic infection, viral infections, I believe that it definitely does do that. So the good news is, you know, for those people in this community who have embraced this protocol, they are directly feeding their bodies the things that they need to be feeding them in order to deal with long-term COVID or any kind of long-term viral infection for that matter. I guess that's the best answer I can give you right now.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, and you're welcome here anytime, young lady.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay, let me see where we were. Hello, Catherine of the Desert. Do you have a question?
No, I don't right now. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're glad you're here, Catherine. And let me see now. Donna G. Donna G, how are thee? No, stop fooling around. All right. Do you have a question?
I don't have any. No questions. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. All right, let's see now. I think we're back to Diane and Paul. No? Okay, wait a minute. I have no clue. Oh, 530, that's no name. Do you have a question, by the way? No name? No, huh? Okay. And then let's see. That was Donna. Then it's, Diane and Paul, another opportunity. Question?
No, not right now at this time. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Welcome, Nancy. Fancy Nancy. We're glad you joined us. Do you have a question for John, Peter, or I about COVID and assorted goodies?
Oh, Lord, I don't know where even to begin. On the COVID, my nephew had it, and he didn't have it bad enough. He didn't go to the hospital, and he took elderberry juice and pills, and he got cured from it. But since then, he keeps having things like his feet swelling, and just he's about 70s, almost the same age, getting close to me. He's catching up with me. But anyway, I'm just really worried about him, and he's been to the doctor, and they keep giving him stuff like his swelling in his feet went down and then it come back and then it went down again. And he's just not like himself. And I have gave him your information to try to get some stuff from Logos. And I'm trying to get in touch with him again. And he hadn't been able to return my call, but he works 6 days a week. He owns his own company. And I asked him, I said, why don't you cut back to 5 days a week? He said, because he gets bored, you know, being at home and not having nothing to do. And, but I just really
let him come to your house and cut down trees.
he wouldn't do it. He won't even change a flat tire. He's got so much money, he just called somebody to come do it for him.
Yeah, well, I'm calling somebody to come do it for you.
Yeah, that's what I tell him. He's helped me sometimes, and but he's a good person. But he's me and him's the last two in the family that's close to each other. But it's the oxygen thing with my heart, John. And I did get my test results back, and it was everything they said. The two valves are leaking, and one's enlarged, and my heart rate's going up and down, but not even nowhere near as high as it should be. But they said the doctor hadn't read it yet, so I figure it'd be Monday probably before I hear anything from him. And I didn't know, is there anything you can do to get your heart rate or your oxygen level back up? I know we take a protocol.
Yes, ma'am.
And I did ask the heart doctor, because I've never had heart problems. And 8 years ago, I had had a complete heart physical with him, because his dad was my doctor till he retired. And everything was perfect. And now within 8 years, I've got all these heart problems and didn't really know anything about them. And my doctor just detected a heart murmur a week or two ago when I was going to her about the shingles I had. And I had inflammation in my shoulder, which is still sore. And I put some of the cream she gave me on my, the couple places of shingles that's still real sore. And it seemed to have helped that, because I'm out of all the medicine I've took. So I figure next week they'll be doing something. But, y'all was talking about the blood clots. That's what started all mine. I had one small old blood clot that broke loose in my lower back on a Sunday, and by Tuesday morning it was all the way up in my arm up above my elbow, and they sent me straight to the hospital and took it out. Well, after they took it out, my immune system crashed. I lost all my iron, and that's when I started all this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to have another blood clot, that's for sure, but I got to take Eliquis. And if anybody gets on, has to have a blood thinner, then please get on Eliquis. It is so much better than anything else, and you don't have to worry about your diet. And they've been sending the home health care nurse out to my house once a week now, and a physical therapist to check on me. And the home health care nurse, first time I'd ever heard this, because always they say don't eat a lot of vitamin K vegetables if you take a blood thinner. Well, with Eliquis, you can eat vitamin K, you can eat green vegetables. It doesn't stop it, but nobody ever bothered to tell me that. So I limited myself on eating. I eat them, but not like I like to. And the home health care nurse said, yeah, with you taking Eliquis, you can eat them. That's fine. And I don't know why the doctors and the pharmacists don't put that on their explanation about what you can do with Eliquis or not.
Well, that's a good question. There's a lot of misinformation and disinformation and just lack of information out there, unfortunately. And you know, my dad was a doctor. God bless him. I have a lot of respect for doctors, but I scratch my head sometimes at the way things go these days in medical offices, and it's just beyond my comprehension that guys who were smart enough to go to medical school completely bought into that whole sham that we just all lived through. It's absolutely crazy. But Mel, it's 1:10, so in the interest of time, can I jump on to treatment options real quick so we don't run out of time?
Okay, well, I'm not going to let us run out of time, John, but if you have time constraints, yeah, Peter has his hand up. But before that, I believe someone just dropped in who everyone in this community really loves. and was officially our number one gardener. Is that you, Ruth Ann?
Yes, it is.
Oh, welcome. Hey.
Thank you.
Everyone
to my
who wants
son.
To say hello, say hi.
Thank you
hey,
to my son. He remembered.
Hey. I'm really glad you joined us, and I hope you hang for a few minutes. A bunch of people that are here are very happy to hear that you're here. And
I'm
I'll just
here.
Ask you, no, you sound like you're doing pretty well.
Well, I try to do better when I'm with friends.
I hear you, yeah. Of course. Amen is correct. All right, well, God bless you, and thank you again. You are my most favorite gardener ever.
Thank you, Mel.
All right, so Peter had his hand up, so let's see what he had to add. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I'm in the same state of mind as John. There's so much on the treatments, not treatment, that's not the right word, on how we can bring this crisis, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it, back into normalcy. Again, I want you guys to understand the silver bullet for today that I really want you to understand is, in my humble opinion, I've constantly seen for years and understood that there's a relationship between inflammation in the body and our immune response. If we can lower the inflammation, the immune response will not be so intense. The question earlier about the gal, Mel, that said she had stinging and took Benadryl, that tells me that's clearly probably a mast cell activation response, too much histamine, so nothing to be fearful there. The Benadryl, of course, is an antihistamine. I don't believe that's the way to fix it. You have to look at antihistamine food and such. But to circle back, inflammation and the immune response are directly related. So one of the things that I've done is create some protocols that have worked for myself to keep me strong, one of which is understanding that, like elderberry, someone mentioned elderberry, that is the signature ingredient in John's immune
attack. Let me stop you because John has time constraints. I'll come back
to you. This is about his.
Hello?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the elderberry is that we're talking about here is the signature ingredient in his immunotabs. So I take his immunotabs to deal with the inflammation side, or excuse me, the strengthening and modulating the immune side. And then I take the Inflastat, which has white willow bark, some other ingredients in the polymorphy that are real good for the inflammation side. So I'm hitting it from both sides, reducing the inflammation and improving the immune response. And just another way for us to understand how John's additional products can really be brought to bear. Another strategy that I've created myself is you take a particular form of zinc, because we know zinc is in many protocols for anti.
I'm sorry, John, you have time constraints, is that correct?
No, well, not so much that I don't want to hear him finish what he's saying, that's for sure.
Good. Go ahead, Pete.
Yeah, so you take the L-carnosine, which is a particular form of zinc. It's not easy to find, but I've vetted companies, which I can talk to Mel about, he can provide to you. But you take it alongside on an empty stomach with John's L-glutamine. And I'm telling you what, I saw a body of research. It's incredible for this, for restoring the mucosal integrity of the gut that John's telling that happens with the dysbiosis that's fueling all the chronic syndrome, I mean, fatigue and the other problems. So if you take the L-carnosine, mix it, find that and mix it and then get some of John's Logos L-glutamine, put them together. They're actually incredible amount of research that says how that's reinstating the mucosal intestinal of the gut. Very important. So again, you're working on the immune side and then inflammation, the infostats, anti-inflammatory foods, other things you can do, hydrating and reducing stress and cortisol. You deal with the inflammation, get that down, the immune response is going to modulate. You're going to get free of symptoms. That's all part of the whole idea of restructuring the biotree. So there's that, Mel. Thanks, Mel.
Okay, well, I think Juan had to go, so I wanted to make sure I allowed him to get in here. But he said he wanted to hear you, so that took it right back to you. Now, John, can I go through the balance of the people that are here? Because we have a big audience today. Won't take long. Good.
Sure, yeah.
Good, okay. So, Yolanta, you have a question?
Kind of joined in late. Thank you.
Okay. Now we have someone 770. Is that Sunny?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Hi, Sunny. Do you have? You know, I've been trying to call you for days again.
It's your phone.
It's my phone. That's what everyone says. Okay. All right. I'm going to beat the phone up after the call. Do you have a question? Do you have a question for John or Peter?
A lot of the call. I'm fighting COVID now, so I missed a lot of the call, but I'll listen to it online.
Okay, well, it'll be up tomorrow or Monday the latest.
Thank you.
But do you want to ask any specific question?
No, thank you.
Okay, well, this call has a lot of answers that are going to be beneficial to you. I'm sorry you're late. I'm glad you're here, and I'll see if I can't ask Glenny to get this call up as quick as possible.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, honey. I know how bad you feel. All right. Ruth Ann, you have any questions?
Yes. I have what I thought was poison ivy because it was popping up all around my body and the skin. And found out it's not poison ivy. It's what they call
shingles?
No, it's they're little pimples and then they explode up with the. Oh, where's my son? What is it we call these things that pop up on me?
A mole.
And they're popping up all over. And that's what they say they are. And they itch.
Who's they? Who's they? Let's get that straight.
I'm on a call with some experts on this kind of stuff. And I don't know. I got in late, so I don't know the names of them. The gal that said they were moles was a nurse from the pharmacist called her and had her come to me because nobody knew what they were. And she came to my house and looked at it. And she said, they're moles. I said, how do you know that? She said, I've been working with them for a long time. And, you know, I also have that no-name disease. That's what we call it because nobody knows what it is. Even Mayo Clinic, they had no name for it. And so that's the way it is.
Okay, well, moles. I don't know much about moles. John, you know much about moles?
Well, I know that they are linked to viral infection in most cases. And if you can address the viral infection, you can get rid of it.
Okay.
So what would you do to address that, John?
Well, there are any number of antivirals, obviously, and some are better than others depending on what type of virus you're contending with. But
I don't know. I didn't know I had one.
Well, I'll be happy to spend some time with you one-on-one on a call, and we can try to do a deeper dive if you want to.
Yes, let's do that, because I don't know what.
Can I make a suggestion, John?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Ruth Ann, it was good days and bad days. So when this call's over, maybe you can spend 5 or 10 minutes while she sounds real good today.
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, that would be I'll do that.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Little Miss Gardner. All right.
we've had tomatoes.
I got nothing again. You know, that's why they call me chopped liver. You know that, don't you?
No, I didn't know that. Chopped liver.
All right.
So you get tomatoes, and I get a call after the call.
Hey, I don't need anything to set that up, honey. You need it, he'll do it. It's done. All right. Okay. So, does anybody else have a question about anything? Because now we'll open it up to anything. Okay. If not, Peter, what would you like to say in closing?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say hey to Ruth Ann. It's so good to have you here today, sister, and I'm sorry that you're struggling. I would want you to understand something in that regard. I understand there's so many different causes for warts and the blemishes on the skin. Some, of course, can be cancerous and lead to other issues. But I believe that what you're seeing there is the iron is oxidizing in the small capillaries under the skin. It'll drain out and then kind of like turns to rust, and it mixes with melanin, the tanning UV protein in the UV activated protein in our skin, and it kind of cements it down. So you'll see infection there, and then as those that cementing breaks down over time, you may have filaments come out of it or infection feed out, at which point you'll have it kind of continue. So talk to your doctor about hispiridin, I believe it's called. It's iron disruption, and I wanted you to know how those form. They're nothing to be alarmed about. It's just the body's natural way of kind of working with different pigments and things to lock down infection or something that it's struggling with eliminating in other pathways. That's how I see it. I could be wrong, but that's how I view it. I hope that helps. The spirit of your discovery there. Mm-hmm. Good to have you here, Ruth. God bless you, sister.
Thank you.
Ain't that the truth, Peter? Isn't it wonderful? Do you remember when we used to do the gardener shows? Boy, do I miss that. Boy, do I
remember
miss that. I mean,
she's so many pictures. So many pictures of her gardens that are really wonderful to see you know, out doing gardening and reengaging with what you love. So that's very encouraging for those of us here, when especially people that are looking for alliances. Nancy, pictures and things you've shared have been very, very contributive to this community. Nothing short of commendable, sister. I'm happy I get a chance to applaud you in this forum this morning for that. You're blessed.
Well, it was the only time where there were more men than women, because the Gardener Show always had myself, Teddy, and Dale, who became gardeners of sorts, really. And it had Joe, Carrie Ann's husband. And then, I don't know, maybe we had Ruth Ann and one other woman. So it was the only time there were more men on calls than women. All right, Laurie has a hand up, so let's get her in. Come on, Laurie, what up? What up?
Hi, I just wanted to ask a quick question on, so the three products that were put out there by, Peter, he put them on this website on three things, bromelain, and there was one set with an N and maybe one with an L. I don't remember the names of them, but they're on the website or on the email of taking for a COVID vaccine. Are those still something that that you can take? Or I'm sorry, to get rid of that, out of the vaccine?
Yes, I believe those are very helpful. Again, those are what's called proteolytic. Great question, by the way. Thank you. Proteolytic enzymes. And so you're talking about the serapeptase, which is in the Logos Magnificum, is one form. It's taken from the silkworm. The second one was that I posted when we spoke about was natokinase. I don't believe John has natokinase, although he may be working on that. But just source it in a good way or talk to Mel about it. And the third one would be something called lumbrokinase, which is another enzyme made by the earthworm. If you put all those together, they're going to reduce fibrin. They're going to break apart the cysts that we're talking about, all these issues.
it's like a vacuum cleaner. Those digestive proteolytic, they eat organic material, they control inflammation. Tremendous, tremendous part of this protocol in terms of restoring the integrity of the bioterrain and of controlling inflammation. So, and the other thing, anybody here within Wizard, just real quick, if I might, if the, in the day back when COVID was really manifesting, people were touting the therapeutic value in things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, if you get to get your hands on them. That's a good discussion to have with your doctor, but if you can't afford or don't have the opportunity to do that, we can take something called quercetin. Quercetin is just a nutrient. It's great for heart support because quercetin is going to act as what's called an ionophore. It's going to take things across the fat cell in the fat membrane in your cell so they can get inside and help down, you know, kill the virus. So quercetin taken with 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C twice a day, 500 milligrams of quercetin is the suggested dose on most most products labeling. I think if you just follow that, you'll find you'll be feeling a lot better, Nancy and Ruth Ann both, in terms of controlling that inflammation and keeping the hyperimmune response down. The other thing that you can do is make sure you're hydrating and make sure you're not stressing. You don't want cortisol in your system, and that's the stress hormone. The pituitary brain axis. So you got to stay calm. Being in areas like going to church, find a good church, singing a choir. God, singing is so therapeutic, I'm telling you. And just putting yourself in a situation where you're not watching toxic TV or sitting in front, letting the media pound these subliminal messages that are really affecting our ability to find joy in our life. That's a very important part, too. So thanks, Mel. I know I'm trying to be timely here, but throw some of these many things out that I had contemplated for this morning's show. So thank you.
No problem, Pete. That's why you're here, buddy. That's why you're here. All right. Big John. Big John. I don't think he's ever been bad a day in his life. But that's because he won't hang out with me. Where is he? Oh, there he is. John, what would you like to say in closing?
Well, I would just like to reaffirm the good news for the people that are in this community who are addressing or embracing our protocol, because, you know, the primary treatment options that I focus on for folks dealing with long-haul COVID or the ramifications of having been vaxxed, the first thing that I would look for is ivermectin, because not only does it block the spike protein, but it also lowers red blood cell aggregation. So that's a huge benefit for folks dealing with oxygenation or lack of oxygenation. And it's a direct antiviral, and it's extremely effective. So it is definitely well worth getting your hands on some ivermectin if you can. The complete thymic formula, obviously, because of the T-cell connection, is directly supporting people dealing with long-haul COVID or vaccine injury. It also strengthens immunity. It's got zinc and all the other micronutrients that are needed, for cellular health. The essential flora is speaking directly to healing the microbiome, strengthening mucosal immunity, the restoring the microbiome with all the good bacteria that produce the B vitamins and things like that that are actually the building blocks of our communications cells in the body and in the brain. Liver CS Plus is another component of our protocol, clearing detox pathways, helping to clear the spike proteins and lowering oxidative stress that is in the body that they are creating, greatly lowering inflammation in that regard, and obviously driving the production of glutathione in the body. The eubanol directly supports mitochondrial function. That's the energy factory of the cell. The Inflastat, as Peter has mentioned, contains serrapeptase, a proteolytic enzyme that lowers spike protein burden in the body. You can also use nattokinase or lumbrokinase. By the way, Peter, I am working on introducing nattokinase into our product line, and we'll hopefully do that very soon. We also have a nitro complex that many of you take, and that enhances circulation, oxygenation through the body. In the many, many miles of arteries and capillaries and everything in our body, there are places, many places in the capillaries where red blood cells have to travel through one at a time. And so when you take nitro complex, you enhance, you enhance microcirculation, where the walls of those blood vessels are more pliable in lowering blood pressure and enhancing the efficiency of circulation in the body. So that can be a very, very helpful thing. Peter mentioned quercetin, L-glutamine. Obviously, glutamine is very helpful for healing the gut and also energy efficiency of energy utilization in the muscles in particular, but throughout the body. L-lysine is another amino acid that is a powerful antiviral. I mentioned that folks with the gut disruption, gut dysbiosis, you can literally measure the output of their probiotic bacteria. The fatty acids they're not putting out butyrate in the ways that they're supposed to. You can literally supplement with butyrate, and when you do that, can also be very helpful. And in really extreme cases, there are reports I've seen from brave doctors online who are using fecal transplants to reverse the dysbiosis in the gut and relieve people with really, really severe symptoms. That's kind of throwing everything at it at one time. But most of what I just described is already in our protocol. And we didn't build this protocol for COVID. We didn't build it for Lyme. We didn't build it for Morgellons. We built it to restore integrity to the bioterrain. And that is the only solution we have to face what we all have to face in the last days on this planet. So I'm very grateful to God for being here, and we hope to be able to remain here for a long time, or however long, is God's will for before Jesus comes back. But it's been a blessing to be with everyone today. I hope that this very complex subject didn't leave you more confused than in the beginning. I'm here. If anybody needs to speak with me, I make myself available. Always have, always will. And God bless you all. I love you very much.
All right. Well, thank you, John. And let me thank you, Peter. What's up, buddy? Real quick, man.
Yeah, real quick. The nitric acid that John is speaking about, that's helping regulate, research shows, stem cell production and really helping the vascular nature of the capillaries and things. So I think that's a very good thing to consider. And the thing I thought to add on, John, was colostrum. Colostrum will actually provide things, certain specific immunoglobulins, especially like IgG for long-term immune support, and a cycle of that can only help the gut as well, and downregulate inflammation. Works great with the serrapeptase, the other enzymes we spoke about. So, a cycle of colostrum every 3 months will do so much for the gut as well. So keep that in mind as well, as part of your protocol. You bet, John. Hey, great to be here with you this morning, John. I love you, brother. It's always a lesson for me, which is a wonderful experience. Thank you.
I love you too, buddy. Thank you.
All right, you guys. Glad to have you both here at the same time. It's been a while since the three amigos have been together, but it won't be that long again before we reunite on some other subject. I want to thank all of you who participated in this call. I mean, this is a whopper of a call, and there's a ton of information. And this is probably the second largest call of the summer, or maybe the year. I'd have to really check. But I want to thank Peter, I want to thank John, and I want to thank all of you. And what else can I say? I hope that you all got something out of this and may take the time to listen again so you can jot a few things down that could be very beneficial to all of you in the future. All right, now let's not forget the best 2 hours of the week tomorrow. That's Sunday prayer and fellowship and the occasional decent joke. So we'll see you then. And, of course, we'll be back next Saturday. Oh, no, next Saturday, the last Saturday of the month. I'm going fishing. Oh, baby. Wow. I almost forgot. All righty. So, everybody, we'll see you in 2 Saturdays. We'll see you tomorrow. And we'll see any of you who need me on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 2 sessions of coaching those 3 days, Tuesday and Thursday, my days off, Saturday and Sunday, early morning coaching available to anyone who's willing to get up. And then, of course, there's conference call Saturday and the prayer fellowship on Sunday. Everybody have a good week. I need everybody to hang up except for John and Ruth Ann. Bye-bye,
thank
everybody,
you,
and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hello?
Just hang
Hello.
On. With you. Hang on a second. Okay. Okay, guys. I'm gonna mute myself. Oh, let me.